B2. Number 8A.
I was just saying before the break, we can ask ourselves why the Gospels give us four Gospels of the same happening, of the same experience, namely Jesus' life experience. Well, the reason is that those four writers could see those four offices working in the experience of Jesus. That's why Matthew, see, is written from the standpoint of the word. That's Matthew here. Quite definitely, because he shows from where Jesus came, namely from the Old Testament, and that he had to fulfill the Old Testament. That he is in the line of the Word and fulfilling the Word. And therefore we have that whole question from where it comes from Abraham up through the 3x14 generation up to him. We see the creative Word generating Word and shows himself, him, as the fulfillment of the law. Here we have the law. Now, Mark shows Jesus' experience as the Christ. There is no question about it. You know, if you read those Gospels through quickly, not slowly, terrifically quickly, then you feel that the complete change of tone. Sometimes you can read the Gospel slowly, verse by verse, and stay on every verse and study it and so on. Sometimes it's very good just to read them quickly through, or have it read to you loud to you, and then one feels the complete change of tone in these Gospels. Here in Mark, there is no question at the beginning from where Jesus came from and so on. He came right down from God. Finished. Just right down from God. That's the Christ. He comes right down from God, and he is the Savior, and there he is. As if he would just be plunged from above down to earth and say, here you have it. You see. And the whole Gospel of Mark is full of that power from above. See, quite different than in Matthew. There the power is Jesus' power to deal with the situation. But in Mark, God invested Jesus with all the power. That's the divine translation from God to man. Quite different with Luke. He really shows Christianity, because he was the medical man, he was the humanitarian. He shows right from the beginning the long, nice story of how Jesus came to birth and so on. You see the whole birth of Jesus, the story of Zachariah and Elizabeth, of Joseph and Mary, and the conversation between Mary and so on. It's the Christianity sense, that sense of man to man, and everything what he presents afterwards is that humanity of divinity, how Jesus was showing the true man, the human man, so to say. Quite different with the last one, is John's Gospel. John has nothing left for any ancestries like Matthew or like Luke. Not even saying that, like Mark, that he came from God. There is the Word, the Lord, being. There he is. And he really shows the scientific sense. He shows being as it is. I and the Father are one. The Father that works in me, he doeth the work, and so on. He is quite a different type. He brings out, really, the scientific sense of being. Or you take, as the fourth, for instance, the definition of good in the glossary. And the definition of good in the glossary reads here, I don't write it anymore down here, I have no more room. Good is defined as omnipotence, the omnipotent word. Omniscience as the Christ, because the Christ mind knows everything. Through the mind of Christ we can know everything. It's omniscience. Comes to us as knowing everything. Then the third is omnipresence. Again, you see that field, the omnipresence of Christianity, and a science on the action, the ever-operative principle of science. Or perhaps you remember that statement, I don't know exactly, from One Cause and Effect in Miscellaneous Writings, where she says that Christian science defines the line, plane, space, and fourth dimension. See? The line is typically the world. It's that line which goes up and up. It's the plane. The Christ comes to every plane of thought, to every state of thought. Not only to the divine state of thought, to every plane of thought. It is space. You have that wonderful sense of Christianity where the whole space of experience is filled with the Christ and the fourth dimension of spirit, the fourth side. In this way we have quite a lot of symbolism in the Bible. You also remember how the very first sign of these four sides are already in the second record of creation as the four rivers. That's the first light that breaks in the second record of creation, where it says that out of Eden departed four rivers, and Mrs. Eddy explains those four rivers. And the first river is Pison, and gives a sense of the word, namely for love, for the good and beautiful, and their immortality. It's typically the world. You begin to love it, to add it. You approach God, you see, the love for God. That makes us a seeker, the world. See, where we add and add and add. It's the love for the good and beautiful. The second is Gaihon, which she says is the right of woman acknowledged morally, civilly, and socially. It's always the woman that gave birth to the Christ idea, all through the Bible. So Gaion, the rights of woman, woman was always that which could give birth to us, to the new idea, could give birth to the Christ, like Mary. For all the Bible, it was always, it was Sarah, it was Rebecca, it was Rachel, always these women were given birth to a higher idea that came to humanity. It's a conceptive sense. And the third is, what you call it, Hiddekel? Hiddekel? It says it's divine science understood and acknowledged. You use it. You acknowledge it that you have it. Just as Jesus said, well, I have it and I use it. It's understanding, it's demonstration of the Christ idea, you see. The fourth river is Euphrates, where she says divine science encompassing the universe and man, so we have again the infinitude of being, just giving a sense of the infinite. So you see, in many, many ways, the Bible began to sense that there is an operational sense going through the seven synonymous terms. I think that's why Mrs. Eddy had four rivers for dispensing her thought, namely the four periodicals. First she had the journal, and the journal, she said, was designed to put on the record the divine signs of truth, to put on record. The word is always, as you have there, you see, the revelation, it's always the presentation. I think one of the most important ideas here is that the word is the self presentation of itself. I think that's a very important one. You see, it's the Logos says, at the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I present myself of what I am. And that is really what the journal should do. It should really present and put on record, you see, that's the word, to record, what is, put on record the divine signs of truth. That it doesn't is another thing.
Then she has the sentinel, and she said it is intended to hold guard over truth, life, and love. The Christ that comes and guards the idea. Then she put as the third Christianity, the herald, in those many languages. I hear they are now coming out in 12 languages. And she says to proclaim the universal activity and availability of truth. You see again that universal sense of Christianity, the universal universal activity and availability, the using of it. Actually, what they do is not that. They take it materially and they distribute it universally in many languages. But that is not Mrs. Eddy's meaning. She wants with the herald to show the universal activity of the idea, something like ideas of today try to show, namely that the idea is at work universally in every branch of human activity, be it in music, be it in biology, be it in art, be it in religion, be it in physics, be it in chemistry, be it where it is, to put on, really to proclaim the universal activity of the idea, that the idea is not limited to the Christian Science denomination. But what they do, they take it material and just have a universal sense, namely to multiply it in language. then the monitor, which she says is to spread undivided the science that operates unspent. Can you just see the science stone, huh? Science that operates unspent. The only action of science. That you can again see what is divine division, huh? That operates unspent. You see, the divine division is there. It gives and gives and gives without that it exhausts. We can take from the infinite and split it up and split it up and split it up as long as we want. The infinite just stays what it is. That's divine division. And really what the monitor should do, and to a certain extent does, is to show that this science operates unspent. It's the only really activity of the Mother Church without any admiration in the world. Anything else has no regard in the world. One always has to be practically ashamed when one says one is a Christian Scientist, because then people shut up and finito. Yeah. But can you see what these periodicals could do? See, what they could do? If they would say, put on record, as the word, put on record the divine signs of truth, they would really be used to present the signs of divine signs instead of having these pastoral articles which are practically the same as 40 years ago. If I occasionally take a journal into my hands and read one of these articles, they are about the same as what I read when I was a young boy. 40 years ago they wrote the same stuff. About the same problems, nearly about the same subjects. To say, they didn't put on record the truth. Think of how science has unfolded during all these years. And so, in the mind of Mrs. Eddy, these four operations were there, and she wants to express it through those four periodicals. Yes. So, in this way, I have tried somehow to show how there is an operational sense in me. These four are of a quite different category than the seven synonymous terms. They have a quite different purpose. They have the purpose of making the whole thing work. See, the whole thing operates. It's the operative sense. Now, can I erase that? All right. Now let's go back to the definition of God, which gave us the sense that God or being is defined through the four and the seven. And we have seen that the four operate through each one of the seven. That mind has these four aspects, or spirit has these four aspects, soul has the four aspects, because each one operates. In the spiritual being, nothing can be divided up. That's why we have infinite classification and ramification of categories. And that makes up the whole structure. Now, in this case, when we were studying the synonymous terms, we were studying them first according to the order which Mrs. Eddy gave in the question, what is God? And answer, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And when we have done that, and we are very happy for it. I can tell you, the joy we always felt is unbelievable. When we discovered these things, we were the happiest people on earth. We just felt that something enormous had been broken up, and that finally somehow one began to see the structure and the signs of being. What a bigger thing can one do than to find being and understand it? But actually always when we have found something, the critics came. And that was a good thing, because it made us think. So the critics came and said, but you people, you are funny people. You're not even read the textbook rightly. Because the textbook gives the synonymous terms also in another order than on page 465 as the answer to what is God. There is an order, they say, in the scientific translation of Immortal Mind, page 115. And that order is very different. So, pack up. Can you say that? Pack up?
No.
Pack up.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't pack up. But we began to think, what is the reason? Now, the reason is this, that the textbook gives us three times all the seven synonymous terms in an order. Only three times. And so we began to think why. And we found out very quickly why. Because the first order which we had on 465, we began to see this is the word aspect of the seven. Can you see? The word aspect of the seven. Now, let me quickly draw this. There we are on the top of the word. Again, the Christ, Christianity, and science. And the definition of God on page 465 states the seven synonymous terms in the order of, I put it like this, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, in this order. And we are asking ourselves, what does it mean? Well, it means what it says. Namely, it is the definition of God. It is the question, what is God? It's the seeking. You remember we have in the word the seeking, the addition, the divine addition. It is the question, what is God? And the answer is addition. God is mind, see, and then spirit, and then soul, then principle. And so we begin to see that this is the order in which the seven synonymous terms appear in the word. And so we call this order the word order. See? And naturally we could see that this is right because this word order, as we have seen yesterday, corroborates with the days of creation. It corroborates with all those many orders which we have found in the Bible, like the commandments, like the Beatitudes, like the Lord's Prayer, like many other things that they corroborate with the law of creativity, right, which is the world. The world is the creative world. It's the world which adds and adds and adds, which starts with the initial light, let there be light, until it finds its complete fulfillment in love. And so this is the law of creativity, which is the world. And we got an answer that this is really showing the way the world operates through the seven. Is that clear? Yeah? See, it's the building up. See, as we had in that diagram, the building up, you see. Actually, there we would say, mind, spirit, soul, which is life, and love. The building up. And then, when the critics came and said, but on page 115, you have a very different order of the 17 synonymous terms. And so they were saying, well, she gives another definition. But she doesn't. There, she doesn't give a definition. The title is The Scientific Translation of Immortal Man. She doesn't give a definition, she gives the translation. And a definition and a translation is something very different. It's a very different office. It has the office of the Christ, the translation. You remember we had here in the Christ, we had translation, the finding. God coming to man is the Christ. Now, what she gives there is a different order, and we call it the Christ order, because you remember in that scientific translation of Immortal Mind, she presents three subtitles, namely God, man, idea. In other words, what she wants to show there is how God translates itself to the point of idea. How the Infinite One is translated to the point of idea. How the Infinite One comes to us to the point of idea. That translation that's coming to us, that descent of the Holy Ghost. That is explained there. So, she doesn't say its definition. But you know the interesting thing is, she gave this order, this scientific translation, the whole chapter really, Science, Theology and Medicine, in which this translation appears. She wrote that for the first time in 1891 with the 50th edition. That was the last chapter she wrote. And in that chapter, she gave for the first time this translation. But there, she called it, up to 1901, I think, she called it the scientific definition of immortal mind. And in 1902, she changed it to scientific translation. You see, she wasn't a person, you know, who makes a lot about nothing. She wasn't a little woman, she was a big woman. She wouldn't just change a word for another word if it doesn't matter. If she changed a word in a printed book for another one, she had a reason for it. It meant something. But what it meant is that she began to see that what she gives here is not the definition, but the translation. What she gives here is funny enough that she starts with divine principles, not just with principles. Because in the Christ, we have here the divine. So she says, God, there is divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. This is the order which she gives there. Can you see? A very different order, but this is not a contradiction to the word order as given on 465. It is something completely different. A completely different office with a completely different purpose, and therefore the order of these synonymous terms are put in that order which are adapted to the purpose of this order. I will come back to it, what the purpose is. But first of all, can you see the critics come along. I just read a book from one of our dear critics the other day, and he ridicules us by saying, these people only have one definition, there are many more definitions in the textbook. It isn't true. It isn't true. This is not the definition. This is the translation. Now, we come to a third one, which is on page, I don't know what, 500 and... the glossary. I don't know. Yeah. Huh? Anyway, somewhere near 580 and so on. In the glossary, there she gives another sequence. That sequence which she gives there is quite an interesting one. Puts principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. Quite a different one. What is it? This is neither a definition of God nor a translation of God, but it is in the glossary, and the beginning of the glossary says that the glossary gives us the spiritual meaning of Bible terms. Now what she gives there is the highest sense of the Bible, of God, and that's Christianity. The Bible climaxes in its Christianity sense, and therefore she gives here the Christianity sense of God, or in other words, the way God had appeared and had manifested itself to mankind at the climax of the Bible. That's Christianity. And we'll see then afterwards what it means. Therefore, the glossary does not give a definition. It gives the metaphysical interpretation of Bible terms in its spiritual sense, which is their original sense. But it is Christianity because it shows how men understood God at that time. And we see what the beauty of that order. So we call that the Christianity order. It is really showing how God appeared as man. And then, when we had that, we felt something was missing. We somehow felt, well, there should be a fourth order. And Mr. Dolly was thinking along that line and thought, well, why isn't there a fourth order? There wasn't anywhere, not even in the prose verse. Until finally he began to see something, namely that which we had just discussed before. Namely, we had seen that the Word is an approach to God, the Christ is the translation from God to man, Christianity is that using and reflection of all ideas of men, of the idea of man, and that science states that all that together is really being. That this all evolves and this revolves itself into being. Making out of a sequence an isness. But no more a sequence, first you have to go through the Word, and then after the Word comes the Christ, and then when the Christ comes, you go to use it. In being, such a sequence doesn't appear, just as we had in the days of creation. In being, it states everything is right here and now. And therefore, he began to see what the Jews had always seen, namely that the highest symbol for God is the candlestick. The seven-armed candlestick. Now, you know how a candlestick is. How can I show it? I think I can. Can I write on the back of it? No. Yes, I'll try. Just stop there. You see, what you begin to see is that the definition of God in the Word was put like this, mind, spirit, soul, principle, I, truth, and love. Now, look this way, it is a sequence. It starts somewhere with mind, and progresses at and at and at and at until you reach the top, the final solution, love. But this is sequence. And we have seen being has no sequence. And so we can look at this in a different way, just as the Jews apparently must have with their spiritual sense seen it. Namely, in the way like little Gauss has seen it, you know, that he has seen this belongs all together.